Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The steal by Iverson, posting in! He won the game! He won the game!
Be there to say absolutely no!
Three from Scott. Yeah! Do you love this game?
Yeah, it is the Sixers Talk Podcast with you once again, brought to you by Wilmington University, Wilmu Works, Danny Pommels, my boy slash Ben Berry, our co-host and producer who does it all. Hey, thank you for being with us. We have some winds of change blowing through the organization. A few assistant coaches who are on Brett's staff are leaving, who we won't talk about because a lot of people don't know who they are. But and you would expect that when an old coach leaves. We'll tell you who on that staff does stay and be on Doc's staff. But Doc Rivers is bringing in Dave Yeager, someone who was a potential candidate for the Sixers job, having left the Sacramento Kings. It is definitely a huge pickup. You see Ty Lue getting the Clippers job, and then Chauncey Billups joining him on his staff as like a sharp basketball mind. Dave Yeager, he might be a sharper basketball mind than Chauncey Billups, or maybe even Ty Lue for argument's sake, because Doc Rivers has lauded his game planning. He's called it quirky offensive sets that he thinks really are innovative. And here we are matching wits with Dave Yeager as the top assistant. Who knows what's going to happen to Ime Udoka? But as it stands right now, Doc Rivers is building a pretty strong front line here to try to bring this Sixers team and get whatever squeeze the juice out of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and try to get them in sets and positions where they can succeed and use their skill sets the best. Did it strike you as, oh, with Dave Yeager, or was it Dave Yeager for you, Ben?
It was Dave Yeager.
Really?
Yeah, this is why.
I was kind of pumped up about that.
I think he is a talented coach when he – the Grit and Grind Grizzlies.
55 wins with the Grit and Grind Grizzlies, yeah, with Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol.
The Sacramento Kings. No, they never made the playoffs when he was there, but their highest win total in the past 15 years is under him. And they just forced him out. I don't know much about his offensive mind.
That should excite. Aren't you excited then? You should be excited.
So I don't know how much about his offensive mind. I know him as a defensive coach. Mm. And I don't see that being the Sixers' problem. They have a all-defensive player and Ben Simmons who could have gotten – who was arguably a defensive player of the year candidate. We have Joel Embiid, who is an anchor on the defensive end, who wants to be a defensive player of the year one day. Josh Richardson, who prides himself, makes his money on the defensive end of the court. Matisse Thybulle. That doesn't seem to be the problem. The problem is the spacing and creating offense, getting open shots, and getting guys to score. So Dave Yeager is a nice piece. Yes, he's a decent coach. I don't know how much it helps what the Sixers' problems currently are.
Well, if we want to address that, there Sam Cassell is out there. That's rumored to, you know, he was with Doc in L.A. There's a chance he could come here to Philly and help out on his staff. And we know Sam Cassell as a player was definitely offensive minded and could fill up the hoop. I'm only going to lean on what we've heard from Doc Rivers about Dave Yeager in the past, where he's gone on podcasts and talked about, you know, Yeager being a guy that you didn't want to play the Kings. He would game plan the hell out of you and get you uncomfortable and use your weaknesses to make his team, you know, exacerbate his team. So I think I got to lean on the guy who's been coaching 21 straight years as a head coach in the NBA. If he thinks that Dave Yeager is an offensive-minded guy who was sharp and can match wits with the best of them, then I'm going to just use that. Like, if you have faith in Doc Rivers and you got to have faith in Dave Yeager, they'll fill out the staff. If yeah, defense might not be an issue for them, but they did sink back defensively last season. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but ever since Lloyd Pierce left to go to Atlanta, the defense hasn't been as strong. That was a prime criticism. You know, I wrote those pieces on Ime Udoka for NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, and that would be like, oh, yeah, he was in charge of the Sixers defense. You see how bad they were there defensively. So I think that's the thing that, you know, people, you know, if people want to, you know, harp on that, they can. But I think if I'm Dave Yeager and Doc Rivers, I'm hoping that we're back in our own arena next season. That was a big plus for the Sixers, 26-2 in South Philly, best record, home record in the NBA. That's the thing that is going to be like a building block for me. Now, if we have to go back to the bubble, there is going to be more concerns playing on a neutral court. But if I know that, you know, for 41 games out of the season, these guys are going to bring it at home and I need to work on how they play on the road, then that's like a big feather in your cap. So I think I like that there are fresh eyes coming in. We'll get to the front office and the changes that they've made in a minute, but I'm looking like this is a big positive to bring Yeager in, a guy who could have been a head coach for the 76ers. And, you know, if we're looking at the cons as well, 98-148 is what he was in Sacramento in three seasons. That's putrid. But I think the bigger issue that people have talked about is he's had issues with front offices in the past with their game planning. Now, if you're having issues with the Sacramento Kings front office, I think a lot of coaches might rub them the wrong way.
Everyone.
Dig it. So, but also, you know, him having issues in with the Grizzlies in Memphis also is like, well, maybe there's a track record here. Just something to keep an eye on, but I would expect Doc and all his wisdom, you know, you got a guy who's long in a tooth in the NBA who has, you know, a bunch of experience, and you bring in a Yeager, someone who he's, you know, unsolicited, lauded in the past, there's got to be like a rapport there already because the respect issue is there. The respect is there. So I'm looking at it as a positive.
So it's not the front office that popped into my mind. It's something we're going to get to later in the pod. But his relationship with players. Bringing Dave Yeager, there's no Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield was not coming here to be exhausted anymore when those two bumped heads in Sacramento. If I had trust in Doc, I would have trust in Dave Yeager. I don't have trust in Doc. We've been over this.
Right.
His time in L.A., his time in Boston. I haven't brought up too much of his time in Orlando, so let's do that now. Yeah, Tracy McGrady for, what, 5 years? Tracy McGrady in the early 2000s was, what, a top five player in basketball? Yeah. You could put Tim Duncan, Kobe, what, Kevin Garnett, Shaq was like kind of on the
That's the name I was thinking of, Garnett.
Yeah. Tracy McGrady was arguably top five player at that time. Never made it out the first round.
Well,
I don't have faith in Doc. I think he's a good big name. I still see so many holes and flaws that we just look over because he's such a likable person. So, like, does Dave Yeager, like, okay, it brings more defense awareness and things like that. The biggest problem is the spacing in the offense. I don't know how he fixes that.
I think you kind of – but with the Dave Yeager hire, you kind of get two coaches for the price of one, because if Yeager was a guy who was worthy of a head coaching job and he's now your lead assistant, suddenly you have like a double-headed monster there, like a two-headed monster where you got Doc Rivers with his forethought and whatever he brings to it, and then you have somebody to bounce stuff off of who also – has their own opinion and perspective on how things might work better or what have you. Like, yeah, I definitely feel you on what you're saying. Like, I wrote an article about Doc Rivers' transgressions, and he hasn't been past the second round in almost 10 years. He's once in the last 10 years, and that was 9 years ago. He hasn't won a championship. He's coming off losing a 3-1 series in the bubble. Like, there's plenty of dominoes to stack up on negative things on Doc. At the moment, I'm optimistic. I think, obviously, we won't know for a while when and how he pays dividends, because the playoffs are what matter. It's not the regular season. We've seen Brett Brown surpass 50-plus wins twice with the Sixers team and still not make it past the second round. So it's going to be getting closer to that pinnacle, man, that's going to make or break them. But they gave Doc a 5-year deal, so –
They did. They gave Doc a 5-year deal. Elton is tied to the coach. And it's all on Elton, Doc, Ben, and Joel. You said it's like having two head coaches. I don't know Dave Yeager. He doesn't know me. I have no idea his personality or anything like that. I know he rubs people the wrong way because of his competitive nature. Having two head coaches brings up one sort of problem, though. Have the Jason Kidd thing. Might have somebody with a knife in their back after a couple of months, couple of years, because they want the head coaching position.
Bro, you know how messy that would be here with this situation? They have no opportunities for any of that type of transgression, backbiting. Like, they already had this dude with this giant collar and his wife allegedly sending out tweets about private information he said about players. We already had the ownership group who's, you know, buying the New Jersey Devils, a rival of the Flyers, and then trying to buy the Mets, a rival of the Phillies, and all the kerfuffle with the whole process thing. We don't need more drama and all that.
We don't. But you would watch it if the news story broke. You would turn on the local news.
Yo, Twitter would be on fire. Twitter would be on fire. They would be roasting. Be a mess. But people, if they win, though, people won't care. Hey, dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. There's a local university that's ready to bring your dreams into reach. It's Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates to reach new heights in your field. WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu. Let's avoid the whole Sixers dumpster fire conversation, and Maybe that is a good segue as we talk about the front office, because suddenly we getting a little bit of upheaval as we expected. Elton Brand wants more basketball minds in the front office. He went on record as saying that. Miguel Oliva, we heard Keith Pompey come on here on the Sixers Talk podcast. Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer, of course. He came on saying how Miguel Oliva was – the VP of strategy for the 76ers, and he was the analytics-based front office member who would give the Sixers game plan information on which players to play when and how that would accentuate the numbers, the sabermetrics, the analytics of the whole thing. So he's gone, and apparently he's taken a coaching job with the Utah Jazz, which is interesting, but less analytics and more basketball minds. So with that said, the Sixers let go of this gentleman, Miguel Oliva, who I couldn't pick out of a lineup, but Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets has stepped down as GM. What kind of match do you think that those two teams might be? Two people, you know, Sixers front office and Daryl Morey, what kind of match do you think they would be, considering that this is the franchise that ousted Morey's protege, Sam Hinkie, so unceremoniously?
So if they even interview Daryl Morey, who I think deserves an interview any team that's looking, but if they even interview him, that goes against everything that was said when they're looking for more basketball minds. Morey's an analytics guy. He's built a competitive analytics team down in Houston. There's a lot of guys that's down there on that team that I forgot were in the NBA that I didn't know they could shoot, but they shoot. And it didn't work out. It was that one year that they probably could have or should have beat the Warriors, but It went seven, and they missed like 27 straight threes
well,
in a
James
row.
James Harden stunk the joint up. I think he had almost had a triple-double with turnovers.
Yeah, so and Morey, I think if people aren't looking for a GM, an executive, or whatever, I think he definitely does. If he wants to interview or if a team brings them in, for the most part, I think that's a good interview. Here in Philadelphia, to say we're getting more basketball minds, that's it would be a complete contradiction of that statement. So why even bring Morey in?
Now, for me, I think where the Sixers would benefit from bringing Morey in is hands down the experience. Elton Brand himself has said that he's just getting used to the responsibilities and the ins and outs of being a GM. He's learning on the fly. Daryl Morey brings a lot of front office experience. He brings having had teams that have gone deep into the playoffs. Whether you think of him as more of a basketball mind or analytics can be debated, but yeah, I agree. He's a lot more analytics. I think the guy for me that I was curious about who had been named, had been thrown around as far as front offices go, and he turned down the Cleveland opportunity is Chauncey Billups. Now, he's an assistant coach now in LA, but I think that if you're looking for basketball minds, basketball acumen, he hands down brings that as well as the thirst to, you know, show that he can be a front office member and excel there. A neophyte when it comes to the experience category, but Daryl Morey obviously would outweigh him there. I don't think I would be sour on the Morey move because they said they're bringing in someone under Elton, but it would be the rapport those two have because Elton is looking for someone who can match wits with him and have that basketball acumen. And like you said, I don't know if Morey quite fits that mold for Elton, but it'll be interesting to see if anyone else gets bounced from the front office, Alex Rucker, Ned Cohen, names that have been around, Colangelo hires, if they'll stick around and continue to build, because the rumors that we've heard from Keith Pompey is that they might have just less game day or input into how things are executed, and they'll just bring information to those making the decisions or execution.
Again, no one's taking responsibility. If you can't shoot a three, he's going to try to move you out of town. He's not up there for mid-range jumpers. Shoot a three or go for a layup. He's heavily reliant on analytics. Morey ball, play off the money ball. Alex Rucker and these other guys that's still in-house that, okay, they have less say, but Elton has said, like, he's just getting used to it. Like, that's not something you say.
That's not.
Fan base don't want to hear that.
That's not.
So why should I believe in you? You're going to get the job done.
Here's this nugget here from Kyle Newbeck's article on Philly Voice. Since taking over the Rockets in the spring of 07, Houston has had the second best record of any franchise in the regular season and made the leap to contender status without ever having to bottom out to do so. He's a 2018 executive of the year and has never overseen a losing season, and the Rockets have appeared in the playoffs for 8 straight years and counting. So in the tough Western Conference, in the gauntlet that is the Western Conference, the Rockets have emerged as number one, a contender. Number two, identifying talent. Because nobody thought James – well, not a lot of people. I didn't think James Harden was a max player when he was coming over from the Oklahoma City Thunder. But they've turned him into, you know, possibly the best one-on-one player that we've seen in the past however many years. But I think that those are the attributes I'm looking for. And how do you milk those things from him and lose maybe some of the analytics approach? I don't know. That's up to the Sixers to figure out. But I think there are a lot of positives that Daryl Morey would bring, as well as being someone who not only has been able to make a viable contender out of the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference, but the ownership of the Houston Rockets has gone on record saying that if he gets
back into NBA brass, if he gets back into the front office, it'll be in the Eastern Conference. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe you do give Morey an interview and really consider him to avoid him landing with another team that's a team that you're going to be battling against for the next several seasons. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's one of those things, like, you know it when you see it. So if the Sixers give him an interview and he ends up being there, I'll be able to kind of, you know, when we go to the press conference or ask questions or virtual press conference, we'll be able to kind of read the tea leaves a little bit to see what they expect out of here, ask some questions, be direct. But I don't think it'll be the worst hire, but I do see some objections that you bring, but some objections with Doc Rivers, some objections with Elton Brand. All these guys have holes you can poke, but I think you got to kind of, you know, weigh the pros and cons and make the best decision for the organization.
They keep putting Band-Aids over gunshot wounds and limbs that are missing, and I'm just not sure any of this is going to fix it. But I have in my belief, a confirmation that Morey isn't coming. I just pulled up his wiki. He ain't go to Duke, so I don't think Elton's hire him. With the Northwestern, it's not happening. So
that's also with MIT. Northwestern, yep. MIT.
Northwestern undergrad, MIT for his master's. So it's not happening. Sorry, everybody.
At Nissan, we just made your choice for a new car an easier one than ever. With our most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup, the choice is yours. Now get great offers across our full line. Shop at your local Nissan store today at NissanUSA.com. Coaching staff, front office, and now the roster. We have hit the Sixers triumvirate here on the podcast. And pertaining to the roster, we're going to present this question to you guys. Of course, we want you to chime in on all the social channels to try and give us your opinion. But Ben and I are going to discuss three players that have been rumored to be with the Sixers. We'll each pick one who we think will fit swimmingly. And those names are Drew Holiday, Chris Paul, and Buddy Hield. So each have been rumored or suspected to be Sixers targets based on Buddy Hield and his social media interactions, where he's liking, you know, Doc Rivers. He's liking posts about Doc Rivers being hired for the Sixers. He's liking posts about him, you know, speculation of him landing in Philly. Then there's Chris Paul, where reportedly they're looking for a player on his rookie deal and a first round pick to trade for. That's what OKC is looking to trade Chris Paul, who has a year left on his contract at 40 plus million. Two years left at 40 plus million each. And then there is Drew Holiday, who we are well familiar with, who really his trade kind of ignited the process as they sent him to New Orleans for New Orleans Noel. And here we are coming full circle. And that always kind of makes me feel some type of way, man, of us re-signing players that were once on our team, like Lou Williams, like Kyle Korver, like Drew Holiday, who we, you know, it didn't quite work out for some reason or another. And here we are, you know, back at their feet, you know, hoping that they want to come here and ball out. So I'll defer to you first and give you first pick of those three, and then we can discuss it. I'll give you mine and we'll talk about that.
One would be Chris Paul. Floor general.
You only get one. So Chris Paul is your pick.
Oh, I thought Chris Paul is my pick.
I mean, we could order them. We could rank them, but it's three guys.
Oh, no, like, no. We don't need to rank them. We don't need
just
to
pick
rank
one. Pick one, and Chris Paul
Buddy
is your
Hill's
guy.
Not
why,
coming
though?
Because Dave Yeager's here. That's not happening. So we can punt that idea. That's out. It.
Forget
it's
about
going.
It.
It's not happening.
No chance. No mending fences. Nothing.
The chances of that happen is the same chance of Ruben Frank from Eagle Eye rooting for the Cowboys in the foreseeable. It's not happening, so let's punt that idea.
Okay.
Drew Holiday, solid combo guard, really never got his time to shine. Such a good player. But his team, as poorly as it's constructed, is the win now. It's the win now.
Yes,
the
they are
salary
win now,
cap boy. Is a disaster. But that's what it is. If they could get Chris Paul because it brings someone else that can create, someone else that can shoot, which the team needs desperately, a floor general, and someone that's not afraid to get buckets at the end of the game. Because out of these three max players the Sixers have, it's one person you want with the ball at the hand, in their hands at the end of the game, and it's not a guarantee he's going to get buckets or even get a shot off. So bring Chris Paul in. That means we're giving up the first-round pick and what, Zaire or Matisse?
It's something. Yeah, Zaire and Matisse, they don't compare the same. So it'll probably be Matisse.
I mean, I'm hoping Sam Presti isn't aware, even though he's might be the NBA executive of the decade. I'm hoping he's just not aware. He's oversaw it. But that's the move you're going to have to make and to figure something out with Tobias and Al Horford, because you bring Chris Paul in, that moves Ben to the four. I don't want Tobias playing the three. I don't want Tobias on the team. That sounds harsh.
Well, we don't give him some time to work with Doc Rivers. So give him a little time. Work with Doc. That's not
– he put up good numbers because he was their option in L.A. And that's what it was. You give him time, but not the hell that is the salary cap situation. I want Chris Paul out of those three. You got to figure something out. Figure something out moving forward. It's just, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. It's just that big of a disaster. But move Al Horford, because a team could use a five that could also step out and shoot. Someone could use Tobias. It's not Philly.
Well, it's not my money. So the fact that he makes $40-plus million a year, that's not for me to figure out. So that would be the biggest drawback. You could look at his knee and his injury history, and that could be a second drawback, and you can order those two however you want, knee being first, money being second, or vice versa. So with all things being equal, though, the money's not my issue to figure out. And his health, as it pertains to right now, is not an issue either. So he checks so many boxes in the basketball aspect, though, as a guy who is going to hold players accountable to the level of play he's used to playing and what he wants to play. A veteran player who has been around, who the guys respect. He can get his own shot. He can score in a crunch time. Like, there's a lot of boxes that he checks. He can play with Ben or without Ben. So there's a lot of boxes that he checks. So it's hard to shy away from that. Age is another factor that, you know, you never quite know when that happy place is where, you know, Chris Paul was fantastic the last 2 years, but then suddenly he looks a lot slower than he did, you know, next season, whenever that may start, because we don't even know when the next season is. So I think that Chris Paul is a great choice. I think you're going to have drawbacks with whoever you bring in here, just the nature of it. There's going to be pros and cons with anyone. But Chris Paul does check a lot of the boxes. He will be the extension of Doc Rivers. And, you know, if you're going for respect and cachet and things like that, those two combining would be an incredible plus for the Sixers. And you talk about win now, though. You bring in a guy making $40 million a year next season. That's about as win now as you can be with what the Sixers have on this roster. They're already projected to be over the salary cap, possibly the highest payroll in basketball next season. So, listen, man, it ain't no final Eastern Conference Finals. That's not going to do it. You got to go to the championship if you're bringing in Chris Paul because of the number he makes, because the window is even smaller because of his age. You got to go all the way to the chip. Now, if you're asking me my opinion, Buddy Hield is the guy. But like you said, once you hire Dave Yeager, who was supposedly, reportedly trying to bench Buddy Hield at the end of the season, that, like, there's no
– He did. Huh?
Well, there's no way you're getting what you expect out of that. Like, that you bringing in Dave Yeager immediately shuts down the Buddy Hield conversation. So you look at Drew Holiday, and like I said – initially, it just kind of pains me. It's a little, you know, twinge in my heart of, like, why we have to go back and revisit this thing that we tried to move away from. So I don't think that Drew Holiday brings the generalship that you want. Like, I don't see him as being outspoken and trying to line up Joel and Ben and make sure they're on point and, you know, giving them tidbits and information of, like, deep playoff runs and how they preserve their body, which Chris Paul could bring. I think Drew Holiday checks a lot of the boxes in the basketball standpoint when it comes to creating his own shot and having that, you know, inside-out game and being able to get a bucket and play D. I think there's an edge there when it comes to the type of player Drew Holiday is. The Chris Paul thing, Drew Holiday brings more explosiveness, more versatility than Chris Paul. But I think Chris Paul is the better choice if you're asking from those three, just with, you know, with everything considered.
And something we didn't even bring up, you bring Chris Paul in, you're going to have the head butting between him and Doc Rivers. And if Doc Rivers bring in Austin Rivers, we're going to have the Chris Paul Austin Rivers beef again. I'm here for it. That's what I'm rooting for.
Chaos. Oh my gosh. You love chaos, bro. Why do you love chaos?
We all love chaos. That's why we watch movies with the world coming through the end, these big action sequences.
That's not real life though. In real life, I don't want the chaos.
That's why we always watch the news and the reports of, like, when teams are falling apart, whether it was the Pittsburgh Steelers with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. That's why we watched Hard Knocks last year with Antonio Brown. We like disasters. I just admit it.
I think Chris Paul is the optimal choice. I have to quote my guy Peter Baelish from Game of Thrones. Chaos is a ladder. So hopefully the Sixers can use whatever chaos comes from next season, whether it be from Chris Paul or Jaeger, Buddy Hield, you know, whatever, front office, and they use that to climb out of this second-round rut. They've only been past the second round once in the last 20 years. And
you just quoted Game of Thrones, and yeah. I speak my fair share of nerd, whether it's Batman or Marvel Comics. I don't speak loser, though. So Game of Thrones, Chronicles of Narnia, Lord of the Rings, I don't speak loser.
Well, you can't even lump all those three things in together. Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia, and
all of it, losers. Harry Potter, all of it. Losers.
All right, let's wrap this podcast up because this dude needs a reality check. He doesn't know good TV or movies when he sees it, but – we appreciate you listening to Sixers Talk, brought to you by Wilmington University. Wilmy works for / Ben Berry. I'm Danny Pommels. We'll see you next time.